We have two stories this morning with a common theme between them. Theme being languages, but probably even more basic than languages, the theme of communication. Human beings trying to speak to one another. In one story, in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, the people could not understand one another, and their conversations got into this cacophony of noise, not being able to understand, frustrating their designs to build a city and a tower in the head in the heavens. Whereas in Pentecost, something very different happened. At Pentecost, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak in languages that each one could understand. And the very miracle of Pentecost was that they were able to have true communication and true dialogue. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to rise above the noise, rise above the babble, and to have some miraculous conversations, some miraculous communication. And when I think of that miracle, and I turn on the TV news these days, I say things like, boy, I really love the Pentecost miracle right about that. May we have, sometimes when I look at our national discourse, when things happen in our world, real problems that need real solutions, it appears that our discourse over these problems resembles more the Tower of Babel than it does the Day of Pentecost. Turn on a news program, especially when it's a really hot topic, be it the response to the pandemic that we've been living through over the past 2.5 years, or recently the tragic shootings that we've seen and horrible things that have happened. And people end up talking past one another. And they're just interrupting and talking over one another. I actually don't know how they do that. I find it very exhausting just listening to that. But seeing people try to interrupt one another and never giving an inch. Wow. That is really a place where we need to kind of pause. Certainly, I do think that in the church, we have the potential and the ability to be something different. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we too can rise above the battle. Now, sometimes the church is accused of being too political. And, sometimes that does happen. I see sermons or so that are almost entirely political, not referring to the gospel as much as I would prefer. But my intention is always is to look at the difficult situations that we see, the difficult problems we face in society, to find ways, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, to rise above. To rise above the current state of discourse, and perhaps be a light to the world. Set the church to be as a light to the world. When we learn, or when we accept this gift from the Holy Spirit, we listen to one another, we treat one another with respect, we love, and we speak in ways of speak optimistically, expecting a positive outcome. That last part is something I see very clearly, and it has to do with intention. This is what we see in the scripture stories. If you look in the lesson from Genesis with the Tower of Babel, there's one very key detail in here that really speaks to the people's motivation. They said, let us brick bricks, let us make bricks, build a city, and then build a tower with its head in the head, so that we can make a name for ourselves, unless we be scattered throughout the face of the earth. So their primary intention there was self-focus. They said, let us make a name for ourselves. Whereas the details in Acts, in the Pentecost story, was God-focused. When they were speaking in different languages, it wasn't to say, hey, look at me, look at all these great things I can do. No, what they were doing was speaking about God's deeds of power. They were giving the message of Jesus Christ died and conquering the powers of death, rising from the dead, ascending, now seated at the right hand of God the Father. So instead of being self-focused, the apostles were God-focused. The The apostles were never about making a name for themselves. Or maybe at first they were, but eventually with enough time with Jesus, they got it. They came to understand. Especially when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they really understood the need and the importance of being God. So many times when I see our debates in our society, it almost seems more like the Tower of Babel. It seems more people are self-focused, just heck-bent and determined to win the argument, just obliterate the other side, because obviously they are wrong, right? Two of these, you want to be right, and looking somebody else again, must be wrong if we don't agree. Yeah, unfortunately, there are hundreds of millions of people that all think they're right. But when you're focused on winning, you're essentially trying to make a name for yourself. And it's a pretty unstable position. Whereas we see good, constructive conversations happening in other areas, you get the right group of people, but most importantly, with the right intention. I want the intention of some kind of mutual understanding and respect coming out of our conversation. When somebody has the intention of saying, like, yes, we have problems. Most notably, we've seen several mass shootings one after the other. The latest of which was a St. Francis Hospital in Oklahoma. But it's been getting very close to home. When the intention is, I want to foster dialogue, and I want to involve other people in discussing what could be a reasonable and effective solution to these problems that we have. And when I look at somebody who I may not agree with, that we may have different positions, but still see them as a child of God, still see them as somebody worthy of respect, and still see them as somebody that I can love as myself. Then we've got the right mindset. Then we have the intent of a positive outcome. When you have that intent, it's important to speak in ways that other people can understand. It's a very interesting dynamic we have in Acts. Very interesting miracle in Pentecost because of what people said, why they were so amazed. They said, we hear each of us in our own language. Phrygians, Parthians, Medes, Cretans, Arabs, like they were all hearing the message in their own native language. The apostles were given this miraculous ability to speak in ways that other people could understand. Now that in and of itself, speaking another language is certainly miraculous. But oftentimes what we also see is, like I said, we've seen a lot of Tower of Babel stuff. Society. Even in the Tower of Babel, you can see they had a common language, but their speech was confused. They were all speaking the same language, just like many of us speak the same language to one another, but their words were going past each other. One thing I've learned over the years is how important certain words are. And certain words, and certainly unfortunately, and sadly, these days, can trigger people. And especially if it's somebody that you don't hold the same way that it's about a lot. Certain words can bring up and really cut the heart of somebody else. Sadly, when that happens, if somebody gets really worked up, they lose the ability to hear what you are saying. One of the gifts that we have at our disposal, especially as Christians and from the Holy Spirit, is to choose different words. Choose words that are beyond the usual political discourse. Choose words that we can agree on. Like, no word like safety. We think everyone agrees. We want a world that's safe, right? We want safety. Well, for ourselves, for our children, for the world around us. I think we agree that we want to preserve life. We want to preserve innocent people. And we agree on things like that. Use that kind of language, those kind of words, to foster together for God's solution. So we don't do this to make a name for ourselves. We don't do this to win an argument. And you certainly don't want to do it to say, like, well, let me just make sure I get this other person out, really hit the truth. Right? No, when we foster greater love, understanding, and even psychological safety, so that we work on our physical safety. Now, that could be a great gift, not only to our fellow human beings, but to the world, because the world can see that, hey, these Christians are doing something different, doing something else. We don't all have to be the same. When you see that another very important component of communication is listening. And we certainly have to be willing to listen to one another. We see this in the Pentecost miracle as well. This is a pretty interesting detail that also happens. When the apostles were speaking in different languages, and the people turned and they saw them, they were all amazed, and some of them were saying, what is the meaning of all of this? We're hearing all of these wonderful languages. We can all understand in our own native language. What is the meaning of this? Then there are some others that said, they just had too much fun. Now, I don't know about you, but mostly from what I've observed, if somebody drinks too much wine, their ability to speak in another language decreases. Sometimes even their native language ability to speak in that increases. But people were rightly confused. They did not understand what was happening. And I think St. Peter's response was so brilliant. Because I think that this is a crowd, like, so much larger than what we had here, this crowd of thousands of people. And St. Peter took the time to hear people's concerns. He didn't agree with it. Nobody took the time to listen. Wait, there's some people here that are saying, they've had too much wine. They've had too much wine. Okay, everyone, please listen to me. I promise you, we're not drunk. I'm promising you that is not the case here. And then you reframe what was going on. I know you're seeing something strange. Here's what's happening. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, where in the last days the Lord would pour out his spirit on all flesh. The young men will dream dreams, the old men will see visions. Like, that's what we were seeing again. Not this other thing. It's very important for us, just like it was so important to St. Peter, to listen to other people and to listen to their concerns. Listen to their voices. And especially the ones who don't agree, especially the ones that have a different perspective. I had this great experience the other day. It was obviously a big shooting. Starting to see more articles come up, some on gun safety, some on regulation, some on what has happened within the culture. And there was one that I found was really, really interesting, in that it was about a shooting that happened in Texas in the early 90s. And in that time, Texas's carry laws were very, very strict, much stricter than it was today. And it was about a woman who was in a restaurant, the shooting place, and she kept saying to herself, if I had my gun, which was in the car, I could have stopped this. You know, but it wasn't legal for her to carry that. And I was reading the story and saying to myself, well, one, I'm not a person who desires to carry a gun. Don't see things the same way she does. But I did notice we have this very important thing in common. We want to be able to go about our business, in safety. We want to be able to prevent horrible shootings from happening. So I'm seeing this coming around because I was willing to read her story, willing to read this article that told this person that gave me an image of this person's mindset. It's so important for us to get outside of our echo chambers and to listen to the voices that we don't agree with. Even if you're just reading an article, even if you're reading positions of other sides. And And then the next step would be develop the ability to describe that in terms that somebody else will accept. You know, if you're going to have dialogue, set up a good dialogue. You know, no straw man, set up a good dialogue. Instead, it would say, in my case, I would say, hey, here is a person who feels that they need they need a firearm for self-defense. I respect that. Well, that's not where I am, but I can respect that. Say, okay. And I know in our very core we want safe restaurants and safe schools, and safe, but it's one in a hospital. We want those things to be safe. We agree. And he said, now let's see what we can do. But I want to listen to you. I want to listen to you deeply. The issues we face as a society are not easy. It certainly are not. But I do believe the church can be this positive force in the world. Now, because we have something helpful to offer, we have this great gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can rise above the bickering. We can rise above the battle. We can take the time and engage in meaningful dialogue of seeing one another and seeing speaking with the intent of something positive happening. Not just winning, not trying to make a name for ourselves, but to speak the idea of something positive coming out of this. Not to speak in a way that others can understand. Choosing our words carefully. Avoiding the buzzwords and having real conversations. We must speak and also be willing to listen. Listen to what other people are saying. The apostles had this gift of the Holy Spirit that allowed them to do all of these things in very physical and dramatic ways. And today, we have that same gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us to do these same things, maybe in some more subtle, but also in some very needed ways. Listening to one another, speaking with respect, mutually moving forward, not by years, solve the difficult problems we have. We are called to love one another. We are called to respect one another. And we are called to be able to speak to one another. The great news we have this great divine help, this great gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen.